When I had rehabilitation with my surgery years ago, that was a song that I would sing sitting on the little machine to keep me going. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I just kept me going. And I love that song, and I love the concept behind it. I'm glad everybody that's here tonight could come. And I do want to make one quick announcement. I forgot that Sister Barb Walker called, said she was also not feeling good today. We have not only are people out traveling, but we have so many people that don't feel well. And so, anyway, how many of you, and I don't know about Amanda, your sister, but how many, not sure about Calvin, how many of you remember Ralph Cramden? Some of you do, I hear that. Ralph Cramden was a very interesting character. He played in an old black and white comedy series called The Honeymooners. And what he was most famous for was saying, "One of these days, Alice, to the moon." You remember that? Ralph Cramden, he used to say that. And you know, you might equally remember that Ralph never hit Alice. He never said to the moon. But in the same manner, many people often, they intend to do something, but they precede it with the words, "One of these days, dot, dot, dot." But procrastination is really the thief of time. When we procrastinate, we're just allowing that to be the thief of our time. Time passes and passes and passes so quickly in life. And it starts with the phrase like, "One of these days, I'm going to." And so in the world, there are some things that people use that phrase preceding a thought. And one of these thoughts, of course, is people who say things like, "I'm going to give up smoking." And I know I live with parents who smoked all their lives. And we know that smoking is a nasty, foul habit, and there's nothing really good about it. So the real question is, why did you ever start in the first place? But sometimes we fall into these harmful habits, and we know that smoking can cause lung cancer. I remember living in my father's house for many years. The walls would be sticky when you touch the walls, and the car itself and the windows in the car had this yellow cast to them, and everything was smelly. Even though I grew up in the house, and as Christians, we're lights of the world, and smoking doesn't make our light very bright. Remember that we're the temple of the Lord, and in that sense, we want to think about everything that we do in life, whether it's a good example, a bad example, and also whether it hurts us. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in the spirit. And sometimes we know these things to be true, and we just decide that, well, we're just going to clean house, you know. You have that thing where visitors come over sometimes, and before they come, you clean the house. Well, you can't clean the house spiritually. And in this manner, you can't just clean it up. Because the visitor that's going to come to the house is the Holy Spirit. And the owner is God. And the purchase price was the blood of Jesus. So the truth about smoking is that when, you know, when you're young, your friends think that you're really big because you smoke. And when you're old, they think you're really big because you may quit. And so that's one of those issues. That one of these days, I'm going to. And so another one of these is, of course, the idea of drinking alcohol. Proverbs 20, verse 1, is something that I always lead people to, where the scripture says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and anyone who led astray by it is not wise." When we think about alcohol, that's what God said. Proverbs 23 in verse 29, and there's many texts. Who has woe? Question. Who has sorrow? Question. Who has contentions? Question. Who has complaints? Question. Who has wounds without cause? Question. Who has redness of the eyes? Question. Who linger long at the wine? Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look at the wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites you like a serpent and stings you like a viper. We hear these words of God, and that's a reason not to say one of the days I'll quit. It's a reason to quit altogether. According to the World Health Organization, drinking causes more health problems and deaths, and listen, than all other drugs combined. We have an epidemic, we call it, of heroin deaths in our country, and in fact in the world. But these are horrible and terrible things that are going on with these drugs. But we become blinded to the alcohol issue because we focus on the heroin issue, and alcohol causes more deaths yearly than all those other drugs combined. Alcohol causes more social issues than all the other drugs combined. The harmful use of alcohol results in 3.3 million deaths each year. The average age of these drinkers is 15 years old. The harmful use of alcohol is a cause and factor of over 200 different diseases like brain cancer, heart disease, liver problems, and other problems. Alcohol consumption causes death and disability relatively early in life. The age group is 20 years old. To 39 years old. And beyond the health consequences, the harmful use of alcohol brings significant social and economic losses to individuals and to society at large. You know that alcohol is one of the number one factors in divorce. Alcohol is a factor given in non-marital pregnancies. Alcohol is given as a factor in all manners of violence and even murder. And so it's something we don't want to turn our backs to. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, and so on. But he gets down here and he lists one of the works of the flesh that's evident is drunkenness. How can we believe that God approves of this when we look at just a few of the scriptures, and we can't. We can't prove that in any way, shape, or form. Abraham Lincoln was once quoted as saying, alcohol has many defenders, but has no defense. And so that's one of those things we never want to say one of these days. So let's move on. I'm getting in more into the spiritual side of the issue. One of the things that people always say is, one of these days I'm going to go to church. And think about that. And I'm not necessarily talking about people who aren't members of the church. I'm talking about people who have fallen away, or people who make choices throughout the days and the weeks and the years when they'll go. But we really can't afford to be that way. Is there a reason to place special significance on the services, the worship services, the assemblies? And you know that there is. There's a great importance when it comes to the church that's clearly seen in Acts chapter 20 and verse 8 that Jesus died for the church. He purchased the church with His own blood, and we need to be clear in our minds, especially right now. You know, at this point in the lesson, I'm not addressing the world out there. I'm addressing members of the body of Christ. I'm speaking to those who are in the church, Colossians 1:18, that Jesus is the head of. And they find themselves too busy sometimes with things other than the worship, and they stay at home, and together we're God's children, and we must work together. We must encourage one another, of course, to be here. We realize that each and every instance of the church assemblies, whether it be Sunday in the morning or in the evening like now, or whether it's Wednesday, we worship God. We worship God. You know, on Wednesday evenings we come together, and yeah, we have a Bible study, but we also sing praises to God. We also pray to God. And so there's acts of worship in every one of our assemblies. And why? Why on earth would any member decide they don't want to be a part of that glorious event? They considered it unworthy, unimportant. And it boggles this preacher's mind. I really don't get it. But we have to encourage people so much more as we see the day approaching. Remember that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And when we think in terms like that, if worshiping God just, what, 1, 2, 3 hours a week is just too much? What do you think is going to go through the mind of that individual when they find out that in heaven they worship God daily, for eternity? There's no day and night, it's just eternity without end. And so, will they be happy in heaven, or will they be in heaven? That's something we should soberly think about. The Apostle Paul, with good reason, exhorted Christians not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. He exhorts that. But he does it for very good reason. Because over in verse 27... he says that if we don't, then we are expecting fearful expectation of judgment that shall devour the adversaries. And some brethren need to get their priorities straight when it comes to saying one of these days, I'll come in the evening. I'll come on Wednesday. I guess worse than that is saying, no, I'm never going to come. Matthew 6 and 33, the Lord Jesus himself said, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And so let's not fall into that category. There's another concern. Another way God's people use this term is when they say, one of these days, I'll be more faithful. You ever heard the expression that some people have just enough religion to make themselves miserable? You know, it's so very, very true. So many people, you know, they just go just far enough. There's an old saying that when it comes to sin, you're not supposed to see how close you can get to sin without getting burnt. But, you know, the other flip side of that is that so many people are trying to see just how much religion they need without getting burnt. It's very true. Many people know that they should do better, but they go without change. You know, in James chapter 4 and verse 17 and following, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so we can't be those people who say, one of these days I'll be more faithful. We think of Jesus when he taught the parable of the servant, the faithful servant and the evil servant. The good servant and the evil servant. And he said that with that servant who knew his master's will and he didn't do it, he shall be beaten with many stripes. That's not a place to be. Jesus also, you know, he taught the vine and the branches. He is the vine, we're the branches. In John chapter 15 and in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. We can't be apart from him unless we bear fruit. Unless it abides on the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. John 15, 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out. John 15, 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That's what it really means. We can't be one of these days more faithful. We need to be faithful all throughout our Christian walk. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 and following Peter writes, "For if they, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, and they're entangled again and are overcome, the latter is worse. The latter end is worse than it was in the beginning." He says it'd be better for them if they had never known the way of righteousness, and that's what people do. They get involved. And then they find themselves not really being as faithful as maybe they thought they would be in the very beginning. But they turn from the holy commandments that was delivered to them. And then he goes on to talk about the pig that returns back into the wallow and the mire, and the dog that returns back to his vomit. And so, again, that's what happens when we say, later, one day, one of these days, I'll be more faithful. And that leads us into another area where people say that, one of these days, I'll be more active in the church. More active. I'm going to work hard. And again, one of the favorite hymns we sang tonight, song number 589, that's my favorite. I want to be a worker of the Lord. I'm not saying that one of these days I'll be a worker of the Lord. That's today. I want to be a worker of the Lord. And the truth is that God expects His people to be workers. He expects His people to be a part of the work. Remember again in John 15:2, every branch that it does not bear fruit, that's not a worker, he's going to be taken away. So that, you know, another song we sang tonight, song number 781, there's much to do. There's work on every hand. Here I am, Lord, send me. You know, not one of these days, Lord, I'll be around, and one of these days you can send me, and one of these days I want to be a more active person in the church. One of these days I'll be a worker for the Lord. There's just so much to do involved in the Lord's work. I love the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, "Beloved, be there, brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." Is the Lord's work important? Of course it is. And when we think of that, don't wait for some other day to say, one of these days I'll be more active in the church. We're all vulnerable to sin, some of which we talked about: smoking, drinking, alcohol, missing the assemblies, not being faithful as we ought to, and not being active member, a working member in the Lord's church. So we want to look at two more quickly here, and the lesson will be yours. Number one is that we need to be restored. We never want to be in a position where we'll say, you know, one of these days, I'm going to be restored. Is it possible for someone who obeyed the gospel to fall away? We already know the answer to that. Paul said we can. He said we can become estranged of Christ. We can fall from grace. We just read in Peter's letter about people who can turn from the holy commandments. And we know that if we do not abide in Christ, in the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ, that we do not have God. And so, yes, we can certainly fall away. And we don't want to forget Simon, the sorcerer, who had sinned. And Peter told him, he told him to repent. He told him to pray, that perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven. And he certainly, that happened to him shortly after he was baptized into Christ. And so when we play with fire, we will surely get burnt. And so we don't want to play with the thought of one of these days or soon I will repent of something that I have done. Because as long as we don't repent, we're separated from God. And these are things that, you know, we're being restored to God is like being taken out of the fire. And this fire that we're talking about is more than just a ouch. It's more than just a first degree burn. It's more than a second degree burn. It's more than a third degree burn. It's pretty bad. And so think of that in terms. James, he says, confess your trespasses one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. And we need to remember that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James chapter 5 and verse 15. Never wait for a day to come. If there's something that's not quite right, then really today's the day. And finally, and probably very important, it's sad that some of the people that I was hoping would be here aren't here. But one of the things we never want to say that later on, one of these days I'll be baptized. When we understand what baptism is, it's a part of God's plan for salvation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. When we know the purpose of baptism, that it puts us into the body of Christ, of which Christ is the head, Galatians 3:27, Colossians 1 and 18. And when we can read and understand Peter's response, the response to Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when they said, what must we do in Acts chapter 2 and 37? And then 2:38, Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we see these things, we heard these things, and we have to ask why. Even tonight, why would someone not want to obey the gospel? We just can't continue on saying one of these days. One of these days. One of these days. I've heard that from a couple of people who we all love dearly. One of these days. Well, the question really is, why are you waiting? Acts chapter 22, verse 16, the apostle Ananias told Saul why he asked him a question. Why are you waiting? What are you waiting for? Rise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. So in conclusion tonight, it's been said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And I think that's very, very true. We must carry out our intentions, turn them into actions. That's what we need to do. We need a people who are receiving the Word of God and that works well with them. We need to understand that there will be a time here when the Lord indeed will come back. And at that time, you can't say, well, wait, Lord, one of these days I will, because then it's too late. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians, He's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey God. They don't obey the gospel. And so we can't wait for that time. How shall we escape such a great salvation, the Hebrew writer wrote, Hebrews 2 and 3. And our lives are truly a vapor. When it really comes down to it, giving up smoking, alcohol, not being somebody who says later I'll do the work in the church, and later maybe one of these days I'll study more. One of these days I'll repent. Well, think about James. In James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15, James writes something extremely significant. He says, come now, you who say tomorrow we'll go into such a city and spend a year and buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you don't even know that what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? But it's just a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. I'm only 64 years old. I already know how fast life is moving here. It just comes and it goes. James says you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. And in other words, we need to just live by the will of the Lord. In closing, let me tell you a story about a man who always would say, one of these days, I'll go to church when I get my life straight. One of these days, I'll go to church when I get my life straight. What happened was, the story ends up that he actually did get his life straight. And he did. end up in a church. The fact is that he got his life straight. He got himself straight. And the funeral was held in the building. We don't want to wait for that time. It's better not to say one of these days, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Your life is but a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. I appreciate your being here tonight, and certainly wish that more were here to see this particular lesson, but it is still important. It's something that we can all take to heart, and maybe someday you'll be sitting at a table with somebody and you can simply say to them, don't ever say that. Don't say one of these days I'm going to come to church. Don't say one of these days. Do it now while you still have breath. If anyone has any issues or needs whatsoever, we're here to help as we stand and sing song number 837. What will your answer be?